Today is our patronal feast, the feast day of our parish's patron saint, St. John the Evangelist. And given that, among other things, St. John is also the patron saint of painters and art dealers, this is clearly a fitting occasion to mark the conclusion of this year's Wonderful Art Credo exhibition and sale. Tradition tells us that St. John was born in Bethsaida of Galilee. He was the son of Zebedee and Salome, and the brother of St. James the Apostle. Like his brother and father, and like his fellow apostles Andrew and Peter, John was a fisherman, and so he would have understandably been quite familiar with the difficulties and dangers of the sea, which in some respects also links well our remembrance of St. John this morning with the other significant commemoration we honor today, and that's the Battle of the Atlantic. But before turning our attention to that remembrance, I want to focus for a bit on the life and legacy of our patron, St. John. Because in addition to being familiar with the dangers and difficulties of the sea, in a quite literal way as a fisherman, St. John was also exceedingly familiar with the dangers and difficulties of what we could perhaps refer to as the seas of life. Growing up in a remote region of a land that was occupied, and indeed subjugated, by the military might of Rome, John knew well what it was like to see his friends and neighbors ground into submission by an oppressive, imperial, and even religious tyranny and taxation. He knew what it was like to see, and indeed to be, someone who longed for freedom and justice. And so he answered the call of Jesus to leave behind his fishing nets and to join in a movement that offered hope and healing to a beleaguered people longing for deliverance. And so with his friends and fellow followers of Jesus, John gave up everything he knew and even risked his life to follow Jesus and to bear witness to his liberating life and love. And although biblical scholars have long argued the question of authorship and identity, church tradition has always held that St. John, the fisherman turned apostle, was also not only the author of the Gospel and the three epistles that bear his name, and of the book of the Revelation, but that John was the person referred to in the fourth Gospel as the beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And if so, then John was the one who reclined next to Jesus at the Last Supper. John was the one that, in our Gospel passage this morning, outran Peter to the tomb of Jesus on that first Easter morning. And John was the one who, as depicted in our church's incredible stained glass representation of the crucifixion, stood at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and to whom Jesus entrusted the care of his mother. And so tradition holds, therefore, that Mary lived out the remainder of her earthly life in the home of St. John, first in Jerusalem, and then finally in Ephesus. And if all of this is true, then St. John the Evangelist, the fisherman who became a follower and the beloved friend of Jesus, was also the only male apostle who did not abandon Jesus at the time of his passion and death. And as we read in our Gospel this morning, he was the first male apostle who saw and believed that Jesus was risen. And in the months and years that followed, as this burgeoning faith in the resurrection became widespread and world-changing, St. John was also the only male apostle who himself was not martyred for the faith, but lived out his witness to the resurrection until a venerable old age. But that does not mean that John did not face and indeed withstand enormous suffering and hardship. Because not only did John bear personal witness to the terrible death of Jesus, and not only did he survive the harrowing martyrdom of his closest friends and fellow apostles, but John also witnessed and indeed suffered the appalling persecutions that were perpetrated against the early church, and particularly during the reign of Emperor Domitian near the end of the first century. John himself was arrested and tortured and then exiled to the island of Patmos, where he experienced and recorded in the book of Revelation, his somewhat fearful and yet faith-filled vision of the dreadful horrors and ultimate hope of that cosmic battle between good and evil, wherein the powers of darkness and death are finally and fully overcome by the light and by the life of God. And this vision that St. John perceived and then proclaimed in his book of Revelation was a vision that he wrote for the beleaguered Christian communities of Asia Minor in order to communicate to them in the midst of their terrible persecution a message of hope that was intended to strengthen and inspire them to hold firm to their faith, being confident in the ultimate victory of God. And this same message of hope has been a message that has strengthened and inspired Christians throughout history who have likewise found themselves facing similar times of trial and adversity. Because no matter how bad things may get, no matter how dark and frightening the world might sometimes seem, we are called to remember that God is always faithful, that God's justice will one day prevail, and that God's peace and love will ultimately triumph. That was the message that St. John the Evangelist proclaimed in his writings and by his own life's witness. And that is the message that we, who bear his name in this parish, must also seek to proclaim in our own living and in our loving. "I am writing these things," John says, "that your joy may be complete. And this is the message that we have heard and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all." One of the darkest periods of the 20th century was, without question, the Second World War. And from the very outset of the hostilities, the Atlantic supply route between North America and the United Kingdom was both vitally important and understandably threatened. Not only did Britain's survival as a nation depend on the successful transatlantic movement of ships and supplies and troops, but so too did the liberation of Western Europe from Nazi occupation. And so for 6 long years, the Royal Canadian Navy, the Canadian Merchant Navy, and the Royal Canadian Air Force were principal contenders in what became known as the Battle of the Atlantic. And each year on the first Sunday of May, we are called to commemorate the sacrifices of those who served during this crucial and indeed longest battle of the Second World War. The Battle of the Atlantic brought the Second World War right to Canada's own doorstep, with Nazi submarines actually torpedoing ships within sight of Canada's east coast, and even in the St. Lawrence River, and with east coast cities like Halifax and St. John's becoming vital staging locations for the convoys of Allied merchant ships that crossed the Atlantic under the protection of Navy escorts. More than 25,000 merchant ship voyages were made between Canada and Great Britain during the war, carrying more than 165 million tons of supplies and troops in order to support and augment the Allied forces that liberated Europe. And it was the wartime director of naval intelligence who was ultimately responsible for overseeing the organization and coordination of all of this Allied merchant shipping so it could be defended and delivered safely across the Atlantic. And it was our own Vicky Robinson and her brother Christopher's father, Naval Captain Eric S. Brand, who served as the director of naval intelligence in the Second World War, and who carried out this enormous responsibility. It was without question a monumental task, and one that by all accounts was superbly executed, and without which victory in the Atlantic and the subsequent liberation of Europe might not have been possible. And so we give thanks today for Captain Brand's military service. And we give thanks for the service and sacrifice of the thousands of dedicated and brave Canadians who shared in this difficult and crucial work, remembering especially those who experienced the very worst hardships of the war at sea, and in particular, those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. The Allied victory in World War II would not have been possible without the victory at sea. And yet achieving that victory came at a very high cost. One out of every seven merchant sailors who served on the Atlantic during World War II was killed or wounded, and over 70 merchant ships were sunk. Nearly 2,000 Canadian naval personnel and 750 members of the Royal Canadian Air Force were also killed. And there were even 136 civilian casualties when the passenger ferry, the SS Caribou, was torpedoed and sunk in October of 1942 as it crossed from Nova Scotia to Newfoundland. And so today, we remember all of them. We remember all those who served and all who died on opposing sides or as innocent victims in this terrible conflict. But on this feast of St. John the Evangelist and in this season of Easter, we are also called to remember that the loving God we worship has triumphed over death and calls us into faithfulness, empowering us to bear witness to God's light and God's love in the world. And so as we remember with grief and gratitude those who sacrificed so much to make possible the peace and freedom we're so very blessed to share, and as we also remember with grief and gratitude the sufferings and faithful witness of our patron, St. John the Evangelist, it's my earnest prayer that by recalling their examples, we might be inspired and strengthened to not only face and withstand the stormy seas of life that often beset us, but to also always seek to do God's will and to further God's peace and justice throughout the world of our generation. May it be so. May we work to make it so. Amen.